Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. It's especially good when we're going to baptize people, right? You know, because some people, you know, they don't get it. They think they're just kind of obeying God, getting baptized. You know, I guess I got to do that. That's what you do. You're in a church. You go to church, you repent, give your life to Jesus, and then you get dunked in the water and all that stuff. And so I'm going to do that because that's what you're supposed to do. And that's all good. But, you know, you need to do it with revelation. You need to do it with understanding. I go, because when you really get it and you really understand it, my. So I'm going to minister today, and some of you are going to feel like, my God, all I did was get wet. I mean, all I did is I didn't even understand baptism. I mean, I went under and I got wet, but I had no idea that this was such a powerful thing. Because water baptism isn't just an event. It's a living, powerful truth in your life. When Martin Luther ever went through difficulties and they came against him or came against his faith and what he was doing, he said, doesn't matter what anybody says, I am a baptized believer. And his baptism was a powerful force in his life, being somebody who's identified with Christ in the waters of baptism. So I want you to understand that. And you know, today you may think, man, I want to do that, or I should have done that, or whatever. You can actually, how many have ever seen somebody rededicate their lives to Jesus, like with salvation? Like, I feel like a backslider, I rededicate my life. You may want to rededicate your life to baptism today. You want to say, I reaffirm that I'm a baptized believer. I tell you, I'm affirming that afresh anew, because this should be a principle. This should be a powerful dynamic that's at work in your life every single day, because baptism is a lot more than getting wet. It's a powerful, powerful thing that takes place in your life. Something happens in those waters that transforms you forever. So I'm going to tell you about it. You ready? We're going to jump. Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses there. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. You know, a lot of people give their lives to Christ and surrender their lives and say, I want you to come and be my Lord and Savior and come into my life, but never really get fully initiated. A lot of people just get partially initiated. And when you study the book of Acts in the New Testament, they didn't partially initiate people. They got them in all the way, right away. You see, something that I find with church today is we'll get people born again, but then they'll go through this slow process of, you know, changing their minds a bit. And then finally we get them, now you need to be water baptized. And then after a period of that, we go, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Because now we want you baptized in the Holy Ghost and the power of God in you, and we want you speaking in tongues. And so sometimes that process can take years in people's lives. But when you look in the New Testament, it happened the same day. I mean, they got right at it. They just bang. It says that day they repented, they were baptized, they were slammed in the Holy Ghost, they were added to the church. Bam! Fully initiated in one day. Powerful, powerful salvations. That's why I think sometimes today we get people, they get saved and they struggle and, you know, they're in, they're out, they're up, they're down, they're coming, they're going. It's because we don't. I mean, it's our fault. We don't get them fully initiated. We don't get them the full package. We don't get them whacked in every aspect that is theirs right away. Because, you know, you don't like slowly, you literally, the positional truth that God desires to give you, it's yours right away. I mean, you are a full-born child, bam, right away when you accept Jesus. We want you to get the whole thing, all right? So Acts chapter 2, verse 37, this is Peter preaching. The fire of God fell, Pentecost, the church was born. Everybody watching went, what on earth is going on? Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do? They heard the gospel. They heard about who Jesus was. They heard the truth. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they said, what should we do? And here's what Peter said. What should we do? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all who are afar off. That word far off is not far off distance-wise. It is a far off as a measurement of time. It means to every generation. It's not only to this generation, but this promise is to every generation that they are to repent, they're to be baptized in water, and they're to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And this is what should happen to every single person who hears the good news of the gospel, who hears about the claims of Christ in their life. They should do those three things: repent, be baptized in water, and operate and receive in and be slashed with the Holy Ghost. For the promise is for you, your children, all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day, I mean, that's a pretty amazing day. I mean, the Holy Ghost came, bam, early in the morning. They all got slapped in the Holy Ghost. Peter fell out. They all fell out of the upper room. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost and them fell out of the upper room? I mean, if it just stayed in the upper room, it would have been a stillborn experience. There would have been no reproduction. But they fell out of the upper room like a bunch of drunk men. And then everybody went, what is going on? So the first thing that got people's attention wasn't the word. It was the sign and the wonder. And then they cried out, what is going on here? What's happening? And Peter began to preach. And when Peter preached, the Holy Spirit just took that word and he penetrated the hearts of men and women. And bow, they said, what must we do? And Peter said, come on, do this. And it says, and that day, I mean, it must have been a busy day. And then they had to go get water. Now we got to baptize 3,000 people. They did it right there. I mean, they immediately obeyed the word of the Lord. These people repented. Let's get the water, get them baptized. Bam. And they all got fully initiated just like they did. So look at that, though. It says, repent and be baptized, everyone. Everyone, repent and be baptized. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, he who believes and, say and, he who believes and, he who believes and is baptized will be sozoed, will be completely healed, restored, and totally set free. What are you saying, Pastor? You're saying you're not saved if you're not baptized? I'm just reading a verse. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, the guy on the cross beside Jesus that day, I mean, Jesus didn't say, well, let's get off the cross, got to get you baptized so you can get into paradise. No, he believed and he ended up in the kingdom. So he wasn't baptized in water. So can you go to heaven without being baptized? Sure. Can you have a relationship with God without being baptized? Sure. But it won't be a fully initiated or productive one. Well, how do you know that? Because it says he who believes and is baptized will be sozoed. To experience the fullness of God, you can't insist on maintaining a realm of disobedience in your heart and in your life. I mean, you can experience it, but imagine if you're experiencing what you're experiencing now, if there's more, if you step into complete obedience and step into the reality of water baptism, well, how crazy can it be? God's really, really good, though. He really does. But you know what? God does expect us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will be saved. Now, baptism is not a ritual. It's not a ritual. Just like communion is not a ritual. It's a living, powerful dynamic. There's only two sacraments that we have as a fellowship, and that is water baptism, and that is communion. And we celebrate those two things, and we're told to continue to do that until he comes. So we baptize people in water through full immersion, and we practice the Lord's table. But baptism is not a ritual. It's not just getting wet. It's not, oh, yeah, I'm going to accept Jesus, and you should go ahead and dunk me. Yeah, I just want to tell everybody outwardly that I accepted Jesus on the inside, so it's just this little getting wet to show you all that I accepted Jesus. It's way more than that. It's baptism is not a ritual to be performed, but a dynamic that must be a present day continuous reality. A present day continuous reality. I am a baptized believer. I've accepted him as my Savior. I've followed him in the waters of baptism. I've been baptized into Christ Jesus, and I've been flooded and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. There's powerful dynamic in baptism. But if you think it's just getting wet, yeah, I got wet several years ago. More than that. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. The word baptize is the word immerse. The word baptize actually is not an English word. The word baptize is a Greek word. Now, what's interesting is that all the rest of the Greek words are translated into English, but that one Greek word we left Greek. So it's baptize, bapto, baptismo. It's a Greek word, so we didn't translate it. Why didn't we translate it? And because it wasn't translated properly into English, there's all kinds of forms of it and all kinds of things, but the word really means, it means to immerse, to submerge, to bathe, to overwhelm, to pickle, and to produce a permanent change. Now, that word's used in Greek literature, and it's used in one of the primary places it is used is when you want to take cucumbers and you want to pickle them and saturate them. But it means literally to cause a permanent and produce a permanent change. So get everybody born again, get them to repent, and then baptize them, because we want them to experience a permanent change. It's not just getting wet. It's an identification and a union with Christ that results in genuine change. 1 Peter 3:21, I'm going to read this from the Message. You can look at your version, and it's pretty clear there as well. But 1 Peter 3:21 says, the waters of baptism do that for you. The waters of baptism do that for you. It's not a washing away of dirt of your skin, but a presenting of you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience. Now, I'm just reading the Bible. Don't get weird with me. A lot of people, when they read the Bible, they approach the Bible with their own preconceived ideas, and they approach the Bible with their own understandings of things. But you see, we need to read the Bible as it is. So it says here, it says, presenting you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience. The waters of baptism do that for you. They present you before God, and they cause you to experience the fullness of his death, burial, and resurrection, and they cause you to have a clear conscience. The word says baptism has that dynamic in your life. Now, in the third world, when we go to the third world, or I guess Brazil's not really the third world anymore, but I've been in Brazil. When I minister in Brazil and preach in Brazil, they have people who accept Jesus, and that's all good. But when I've been there with Pastor Billy and things, when there's baptismal services, witch doctors show up at baptismal services in Brazil, and they try to intimidate the people and try to keep them from being baptized in water. Did you know the witch doctors down there don't care if you accept Jesus as your Savior, but they show up at baptismal services? So I've always thought, like, what is the deal with that? I mean, why do they show up at baptismal services? I mean, why don't they, you know, come to church or try to do that there? But they'll come to the baptismal services, and they'll try to intimidate people. And people get freaked out, and they say, we will curse you if you get baptized in water. So then now, a fellow named Prem Pradham, he was actually a native of Nepal, but he used to come and speak at my dad's church. Prem, an amazing guy. Prem was a guy who started many, many orphanages throughout Nepal. And because he did, they just really wouldn't touch him because he did so much for people. But Prem also openly would preach the gospel and openly would get people baptized in water. But it was illegal to proselytize. It was illegal to teach about Jesus in Nepal. And at one point in Nepal, it was the death sentence to baptize people. But Prem didn't care. Now, what amazing thing is that it's illegal to preach Jesus, but it's the death sentence to baptize. So I go, gee, the witch doctors show up at baptisms. I mean, it's the death sentence to baptize. And Prem got thrown in jail several times. He was thrown in prison once, and they locked him up there. And he actually, the whole wing that he was in, the whole wing accepted Jesus. So they moved him out of that wing, moved him to another wing, and the whole wing accepted Jesus. And then they moved him out of that wing to another wing. The whole wing, the four wings in the place, they all accepted Jesus. So you know what they did? They finally got fed up with him. They took him out where they threw the dead bodies in the garbage, and they threw him out and they chained him there and said, done, we're done with you. They would come out and throw him a bit of food every once in a while, but they didn't want him near anybody. Then, you know what happened? They started throwing dead bodies out there. Guess what happened? Prem would raise them from the dead, lead them to Jesus. So then they finally said, this is ridiculous. You know, we can't contain this guy. I mean, here we are trying to lock him down, but you cannot lock down the power of a resurrected Christ. You see, there was Prem going for it, but they wouldn't touch him because he was helping so many people and so many orphans and things, got off the street and ministered to. But he was raising up a whole generation of radical miracle workers to go through the world. Now, when I go to India, and when we're in India, I mean, in India, the first time I went there, we had this large crowd I'm preaching to. And when I got to the end, I was like, you've got to renounce all your idols. You've got to put away every other god. Those who cling to idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So I want you to cast away all idols, every other god, and I want you to accept Jesus. Anyone who wants to accept Jesus right now, put up your hand up and say, I receive Jesus. The whole crowd put up their hand. And I went, I am the most awesome preacher in the world. I was like, this is so good. And I said, now, only if they want to accept Jesus. Are these people all want to accept Jesus? And the interpreter said, yes, Pastor, they want to accept Jesus. I went, everybody does. He said, yes. I went, they don't understand me. Tell them to put their hands down. I said, I want you to renounce every other god. You'll only serve Jesus. He will be your God. He will be the one you will serve. Only if that is your confession, stand up. Stand up and raise your hand to Jesus. And they all stood up, raised their hand to Jesus. I went, man, either I am the most amazing preacher in the world or something's wrong. We're missing. And I thought we got to be missing the interpretation, you know. So I said, now what I want you to do, I want you all to sit down again. Sit down. Now, if you want to accept Jesus, I want you to stand up and turn around and face the back of the field. Do not face the congregation, but face the back. So I want you to stand up, turn around, face the other way. So they all stood up, turned around, faced the other way. And I went, am I ever awesome? But then I found out after the pastor said, oh, they all accept Jesus every week. See, they have no problem accepting Jesus because Jesus is one of their gods. I mean, they're pantheists. And you'll go into their homes, they'll have Krishna and Jesus, and they'll have all kinds of things there. And they have no problem accepting Jesus. He said, the thing is when we say we want you to come now and be discipled and be baptized, that's when we can't get them. You could get 2,000 accept Jesus right here. We might get 20 out of this whole crowd that would actually be baptized in water. And he said, if people do get baptized in water, he says, we have to sign with the government, and they have to sign off that they're changing faiths, and I also have to sign off, and they have to agree that they have not been coerced in any way, but they're doing this of their own free will. And to get baptized here in India is a very, very difficult thing. And then if they do get baptized, their families disown them, and often if the women get baptized, their husbands will beat them or even kill them. He says, we've baptized people, pastor, a couple weeks ago. We haven't seen them since. We tried to find out where they are. We don't know. He said, one young girl we went to visit, and her husband had, or her father had beat her, and she's in her room, and she's telling her, you can't go out of the house until you renounce Christ. And she says he won't, but he won't let her out of the house. Wow. And you know what? All of that has to do with not accepting Jesus, but with baptism in water. And see, I know the enemy knows that there's a much bigger dynamic released here than sometimes even the North American church gets. So it says here that in baptism, you know that something happens here and there's a clearing of your conscience. There's a liberty and a freedom. There's a breaking of the chains of the enemy. Every yoke, every opportunity, every hook that he has in you is broken and torn away so that complete, utter freedom comes into your experience. The enemy don't want that. A little story, William P. Parker, church historian. He talked about a mechanist for Ford Motor Company in Detroit. He became a Christian. He responded to the invitation to be water baptized, and the Holy Ghost began working in his heart and renewing him. It says, after he was baptized the next morning, he went and brought back all the tools to Ford Motor Company. All the tools he'd stolen from Ford Motor Company, he took back to his employer. He explained to them. They said, what are you doing? Why have you done this? He said, I was just baptized. I asked now for your forgiveness. I'm sorry I took these tools. Baptism will change your life. I had a guy who was baptized. He was baptized here. He called me 2 weeks later, and he said, pastor, I have fingernails. And I went, well, that's awesome. Good for you. I'm like, you know, that's not a miracle or anything. Everybody's got fingernails. He said, no, you don't understand. I have fingernails. I actually had to go get a nail clipper today. And I went, wow, good for you. He said, no, you don't understand. I tried to figure it out. What's going on? I've never, ever clipped my nails. Never in my whole life have I clipped my nails. Ever since I can remember as a little kid, I have gnawed on my fingers. I have chewed my nails raw, and I've never had fingernails. And he said, I was trying to think about it. I go, what's going on? He said, you know what? Since I've been baptized, I have not chewed my fingernails. Since I've been baptized, I haven't stuck my hands in my mouth. Since I've been baptized, I realized whatever was tormenting me and pushing me and causing that frustration in my life, I've been totally set free of this. I've had people that were tormented, hearing voices messed up in every single way, that we've walked them to the baptismal tank, got them baptized, and they called us back the next day and said, it's unbelievable, the world is quiet, the only voice I hear is mine. Totally delivered through the waters of baptism. So this fella, he took back all of his tools, and then they called. Mr. Ford was in Europe doing some investigation for plants over there in Europe at the time. So they cabled him and told him about this guy who brought back all these tools. And here's what Mr. Ford sent back. He said, dam up the Detroit River and baptize the whole city. He said, man, if there's that kind of power in that, I mean, just get the whole place underwater if that'll cause that kind of a change. Isn't that awesome? Powerful, powerful change in people's lives. I want to give you five imperatives about baptism. Five imperatives, really fast. Five of them. Number one, it's a personal command to obey. It is a personal command to obey. You're not getting baptized because the church says it, or mommy says it, or Uncle Fred said it, or your friend Susie's doing it today. You're getting baptized because you know there's a personal imperative. There's a personal command that you understand and you're receiving. And you're saying, I want to follow Jesus all the way. I want to go all the way with him. And if he says be baptized, every one of you, if he was baptized, then I'm doing it. Even Jesus went to John the Baptist. He said, let it now, let it be so, let this be proper for us to do, for in this we fulfill all righteousness. So you want to fulfill all righteousness. Number one, it is a personal command for you to obey. Number two, number two, number two, number two, Number two is it is a promise to receive the Holy Spirit. It's a promise to receive the Holy Spirit. We read it in Acts chapter 2. It says, verse 38, it says, and repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? You're saying now, you're saying that I got to be baptized in water, accept Jesus, repent, be baptized in water, then I get to have the Holy Spirit? No, I know at Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. I know that before Cornelius even had a chance to respond to the altar call, he got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost. I mean, he didn't even say, I believe in Jesus. He's just sitting there listening, and he's just hungry for God. And the Holy Ghost got so desperate to touch them, I mean, fell on their necks, fell on them. It's the same word fell on them as the word the prodigal son's father ran and fell on his neck. That's the same word used for the Holy Spirit fell on them, ran and fell on their necks and embraced them. I mean, the Holy Spirit couldn't wait to get the first Gentiles into the kingdom. And it's like, bam, just fell on the whole place. Then they went, whoa. Then he taught them about what was going on, because Peter didn't even think Gentiles should get it. So they're getting slammed in the Holy Ghost, and then it says they baptize them with water. So, you know, sometimes the whole process is a little here and a little there, but I tell you, the Word of God says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there is a promise in this whole process that you need to repent and you need to be baptized, but you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The way to the fullness of the Holy Spirit is opened up to every single believer believing in Him, being baptized in water. Don't stop there. Don't stop there at all, but we want you, and we'll pray for people here today. We've had many people baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. I've had people come out of the water and going, and they don't even know what they're doing. But the Holy Ghost is so desperate to get on you. It opens a way to the promise to receive the Holy Spirit. Number three, how many of you folks remember a guy named Paul Harvey? Remember Paul Harvey? Some of you older folks remember his radio thing, little Paul Harvey things on the radio, little quips. Well, Paul Harvey said this. He actually was on vacation with his wife, and he was in a small town, and they decided to go to church that day. So they went to this little church, and there's only 12 people in the building. But they thought, well, it's good. There's 12 people. It's all good. The pastor started preaching. And that day, that little church, they were baptizing people. And that day, the pastor preached on baptism. Here's what Paul Harvey said. He said, to my surprise, I found myself going forward when he made the appeal. The preacher had said that there was nothing magic in the water. Yet, as I descended into the depths and I rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened. I was cleansed inside and out. No longer did there seem to be two certain contradictions or any uncertain contradictions in my life. But he said, I was immensely happy, and I felt the fulfilling surge of the Holy Spirit in my life. He says, you know, I went to church because I believed. I was a believer, but I'd really never been baptized in water before. But as he taught on it, I said, I want to do that. And he said, when I was baptized, I was overwhelmed with happiness, and I felt the fulfilling surge of the Holy Spirit in my life. He went on to say, the change the simple act made in my life is so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to Him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act, and because one's dignity gets drenched as does one's body, I discovered a new unself-consciousness in talking about my beliefs. That's good stuff right there. So come on, say that's good stuff. Thank you, Pastor. Something powerful about being baptized in water. Number three is a call to identity with Jesus Christ. A call to identity with Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 to 7, it says, or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we are no longer slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Being identified with Christ, the power, the yoke of sin, every aspect of that sin that's been at work in your life, getting that cleansed conscience, no longer is there the ability for the enemy to attach himself to any of those things in your life, because you've been cleansed and you've been washed, you've been identified with Christ in the waters of baptism. Joshua chapter 3, 14 to 17. We read that a few weeks back when we talked about for real. But what I love about this is when they went through those waters, and going through those waters is a symbol and a type of baptism. When they went through the waters there with Joshua, it says that the waters parted. And what I love is, it says the waters parted all the way back to a place called Adam. And I love that. And I mean, that is a reality in me. Because when people come and they say, well, you could be feeling that because your family has a disposition towards that type of sickness. So that's just the way it is in your life. I mean, mom had high blood pressure, you know, grandma had high blood pressure. It runs in your family somewhere down there. That's just the way it is. Things broke down, things got messed up somewhere back there. So you're living in some messed up genes. Well, I read this verse, and it says, you know what? The waters were parted all the way back to Adam. All the way right back to the beginning. All the way right back to the very first disappointment, the very first sin. The waters have parted, and they've been separated all the way back. So you know what? When I go through the waters of baptism, there's some dynamic that takes place that goes right through the very fiber of my being, that all the way right back to Adam, any disposition or anything or any generational curse or any issue, any disappointment, any sin of any former member, your family, past, present, future, whatever! The waters are parted all the way back to Adam. And you don't have to go through years and years of therapy or all kinds of stuff to get it right. You just need to believe, because it says, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Here's the truth about water baptism. It's not about getting wet. It's about totally being restored and identified with Jesus Christ. It's being totally identified with the perfect one who did everything, who dealt with every single issue. It's being identified with his death, because if you died, it says that you're dead to sin and sin no longer has any power over you. What is sickness all about? Sickness is all about sin, and it's all about the devil. But you know, when you go through the waters of baptism, you got to believe this. But if you don't believe this, if you let the devil lie to you and tell you baptism's just getting wet, it doesn't do what pastor's talking about. It doesn't liberate you from this. It doesn't clean your conscience or free you from generational stuff. That's not true. It's absolutely true. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. But if you're unwilling to believe that, the only power the enemy has over you is a lie. And if you'll come in agreement with that lie, then you come in agreement with whatever you know you can come under. But here's the truth. Know the truth. The truth makes you free. And here's the truth. Bam, all the way back to Adam. You've been set apart, you've been set free. Every place the enemy says he has legal right to attack you is dealt with. He has no place in you. You've been cleansed from every single generational issue. Number four, a circumcision to be performed. There's a circumcision to be performed in the waters of baptism. Colossians. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. I love these verses. These are powerful. In him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, the putting off of the body of sin, of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God. See, it's not with the hands of a man, but there's a circumcision that takes place today on the hearts of the people going through these tanks, where every single issue of their past, every carnal issue, every issue of the flesh is peeled back and eliminated in their lives. There's a circumcision that takes place that is done by the hands of Christ himself. It says, working of faith, who raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting and the requirements as it was against you, which is contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. He has disarmed principalities and powers. He has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You're identifying, you are placing yourself in Christ, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and you are now seated with him in heavenly realms above every single rule, power, principality, anything. In this age or the age to come, nothing can separate you from the purposes of God, the love of God, and his desire and his power in your life. When you're a baptized believer, you are completely identified in him and separated from every carnal tendency. Well, how come I still get carnal? Because you can still slip into that stupid thing. That's why you need to affirm. And sometimes, affirm, I'm a baptized believer. The people tell you, well, you got those two things working in you. The problem is you got the spirit man, and then you got the evil man. And so problem is you got those two guys fighting with each other all the time. That's why you can't seem to. No, you don't have those two fighting in you. It says here, dead. Done. Now, you want to believe that foolishness, you can, but I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things passed away and all things became new. I'm not struggling with the old man. The old man is done. When you struggle with the old man? When you think you can. Oh, I must be struggling with the old man. And then you develop a whole philosophy about it. But you know, here's how you deal with the old man. Reckon him dead. Reckon. It's an accounting term. He's dead. Don't try to kill him. Don't you know, try to do it in your flesh. There's religion. Try to do what was already done. Try to do in your own efforts what was done at the waters of baptism. Try to clean up your own act when you know what? When you accepted him as Savior, went through the waters of baptism, that was broken off your life. You've been identified with him. You are dead to the things of the world. You are dead to the flesh. You know, if you don't know that, you'll slip into all kinds of false teaching. You get yourself in this treadmill of always trying to make yourself better. You cannot improve on what God has done when you are identified with Christ Jesus through the waters of baptism. I am a baptized believer in Jesus Christ. I have had the hands of Jesus himself peel away every carnal tendency. He has circumcised my heart that I am opened up and free to follow him and pursue him every moment of my life. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I am a slave to righteousness. Are you folks all here? All right, just a couple excited ones more than others. All right, I love that Colossians here. It says he wiped out the handwriting. He wiped out everything contrary to us. He disarmed principalities and powers. He disarmed them. Well, how come the enemy's attacking me? Because you believe that he can. Truth is, he can't. He's lying to you. All right, you can have that cutting away of carnal tendencies. The second thing is the purpose of God is released in your life. The purpose of God is released in your life. In Genesis, you'll see in Genesis, we see that whole kind of anti-type. We see the type in the Word of God with Abraham. Now, Abraham had the promise. He was believing. He was hanging on. It says he was 99 years old. And then God comes to him and says, I am your God. You know, follow me. And then I've been trying to do my best. All of a sudden, he says, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to visit you in a powerful way. And that was the day that he visited him, and he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and he changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah. I love that because the word Abram becomes Abraham when you add the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Sarai becomes Sarah when you add the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Neat thing about the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is you pronounce it, hey. I love that. Hey. There was a whole period about 5 or 6 years ago that I kept on in worship. I go, hey. Hey, I was like, man, I don't even know why I'm doing that, but it's all good. Hey, and then I was studying Abraham, and I realized the fifth letter of the alphabet was added. I looked up the definition of the fifth letter of the alphabet. The fifth letter, hey, means come forth, creative realm. I went, that's really cool. So I've been saying, come forth, creative realm. And you see, what God did was he breathed into Abraham and he breathed into Sarah, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, changed their name, and it changed everything about them. He breathed in creative life. And he literally, in somebody who's dead, both of them dead to bring forth that procreation, dead to that whole act, he breathed life into them. He breathed divine, supernatural creativity into them. He went, whoosh. And you see, but they had to embrace it. They had to believe it. They had to say, I am now Abraham. They had to now start calling each other Abraham and Sarah. I mean, imagine the next day if she went, Sarah. God bless you, Sarah, woman of God. Oh, stop it, Abe. I mean, come on, I'm Sarai. I mean, we might have changed our name. What is all that about? Just call me Sarai. They had to embrace that change. They had to embrace what God breathed into their lives. She called him Abraham, and he called her Sarah, and they did the thing, you know, got her done. But it wasn't until Abraham was circumcised that he loosed and manifest the creativity for his future. And for the purpose of God in his life. Now, all the Old Testament's all written there for us to learn things. You see, Genesis chapter 17, verse 11 says, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant of the promise between you and me. Then in verse 21, it says, by my covenant, I will establish it with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year. And then Genesis 21:2 says, Sarah conceived and bore a son in Abraham's old age at the set time of which God had spoken. But see, there's something here. Circumcision doesn't just identify you with Christ. Circumcision identifies you with the purpose of God in your life. Circumcision brings you into a place where you can now release seed into your future and create the purpose of God and your destiny. I know that was exciting. Just try to settle down because I've got one more point to go. Please, easy, relax. Please, I have to go on. All right. Number 5. It's one of my faves. I love this. A freedom to be appropriated. There's a freedom to be appropriated. Free from bondage, free from accusation, free from oppression. Jesus caused an exodus and he brought people out into freedom. 1 Corinthians 10:3 says, 1-3 says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. They all, this is what caused them, and God wanted them to be baptized. You see, they could have got away. They were well away. They were a long ways away from Pharaoh. And then all of a sudden God says, whoop, wait a minute, guys, you got to come back here. And he took them between a rock and a hard place in the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh saw that, he said, they're confused. Fantastic. I'm going to get these slaves back. Now, how many, you know, have we seen who've accepted Jesus and they're going the right way and then they turn around and it looks like they're getting messed up. They're not making it. Here's the thing. Baptism is very significant and very important for you to go into your destiny. Baptism, because that's how you're free from bondage, free from accusation, and free from oppression. So on purpose, God took them this other way. So we see in Exodus chapter 14, 23 to 31, it says Moses struck the water, they followed him across. I mean, it opened up, they're walking across on dry ground. Here, we'll pick it up. It says, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses and all of his chariots and all of his horsemen. See, this was all, God did all of this on purpose. This had to be done for them to go into their future. This had to be done for them to realize the promise of God. So he on purpose took them through a baptism. And this is all a type of what happens with us in the spirit today. It was on purpose he took them there. So here they go. So what happens? You go to that tank, and I kid you not, I'm telling you, we have taken people to the tank. We have had people we've had to whisper to and keep them literally conscious to get them to the tank. They're so demonically oppressed. And we've got them to the tank, literally holding them, and people didn't know. They go, hey, why Cheryl, really close to that woman. That's really neat. And then she gets them right to the edge of the tank, trying to keep them in a state of consciousness. And when we got them through the water, totally set free of every demonic attack. Totally set free. And why? Because here's what happens. He literally, baptism is a place where Almighty God says, go ahead, devil, you try. You try to get through there. You try to get through this tank. You try to get through the identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You try to come out of that. And it's a beautiful thing, because here's what happens with the people of Israel. Wow, I can't handle your excitement. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire in the cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels. Must have had a lot of fun. Watch this. Bang. Look at that guy doing wheelies in a circle. He took off. I mean, why didn't he just wipe them out? I don't know. He's just having fun. Ping, ping. Takes off their chariot wheels. He takes off and he drove them. They drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Oh, Jesus. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters came back over the Egyptians on the chariots and on the horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh. Say all. What is the army of Pharaoh a type of? It's all a type of the kingdom of darkness. So what happens when you go through the waters of baptism? What happens to the ability of all the kingdom of darkness to follow you through this tank? Done. Well, this is interesting. Are you telling me that we go through the waters of baptism, I can be totally delivered and set free and never have to go through like counseling or therapy and hours of this and deliverance sessions and all these other things? You mean I can actually just believe in Jesus Christ, follow him through the waters of baptism, totally free of the devil, then get filled with the power of God all in one day? Yes. That is the way. That is the biblical pattern. But we've embraced all manner of other crazy patterns because we don't have faith and confidence in what the Bible says. But if you've literally got faith and confidence in what the Bible says, we don't have to go through all these schools of wackiness and crazy things and 45 weeks down at some place, getting prayer for 45 hours a day, screaming, puking, spitting in buckets. Ah! You don't see that anywhere in the Bible. You see them getting people saved, baptized in water, full of the Holy Ghost. Bam. Done. But the church are the worst unbelievers in the world. We've taken the truth of God and we've turned it into all manner of foolishness. We got forms of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Did you get wet yet? Oh, good for you. Not did you get wet. Did you get identified with Christ, separated from the powers of darkness once and for all, and released into your destiny, spitting seeds of purpose, creating the world that God desired you before the foundation of the world to do? Yes, I did that. And now I'm going to a weekend away to get prayer and deliverance. I think people get more demons there than they get help. They get so confused. They walk, holy cow, I came to Jesus. I thought who the Son set free is free indeed. But I guess that's not true. The Son sets free is free, maybe. And then with 45 years of counseling, we might be okay, and I might now be able to witness, lay hand on somebody, and deliver them. That's because we don't initiate people properly. Pastor, sounds like you're saying 1, 2, 3, you're free. Yeah. It's don't be childish to receive the kingdom, but it is childlike. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that day, 3,000 were added to the discipleship program, fully initiated. That's why the church continued to grow and grow and grow, because we didn't tell them, well, you can't witness yet because you're full of demons. Anyways, look at this now. It says, then the waters returned, covered the chariots, not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall between them on the right hand and the left. Verse 30, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. See every enemy of your soul washed away in the waterless, powerless against you ever again. Have people gone through the waters, Pastor, and gone back into captivity? Yeah. Disobedience, and literally the biggest sin of them all, unbelief. Unbelief. Biggest thing, go look in the Hall of Horrors in Revelation. Who's God really upset with? Unbelievers, number one. Number two, cowards. Way down the list, murderers, adulterers, all that stuff. People are going to go through the tank today, totally set free forever. Oh, this is hard to believe. I mean, this radically changes everything I've believed. Good. Good. Repent of false teaching and false doctrine and believe the word of God. I'm not giving you my spin today. I'm just reading the Bible. I didn't write it. I'm just teaching it. There's a lot of other people, you know, instead of teaching the Bible, they're teaching and listening to teachings and tapes and all this other junk from other people who don't have a clue. Okay, sorry about that. Got a little carried away. My goodness. All right. Story. I'm going to give you a story. How many know Pat Summerall? How many heard a guy named Pat Summerall? All you football fans, going to hear him again. He's a broadcaster. Used to be a football player, but here's Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall spent 50 years with the National Football League. He was drafted by the Detroit Lions in 1952. He played with the Chicago Cardinals, the New York Giants until 1961. After his retirement from the game, he joined CBS as a broadcaster. In 1993, he switched to the Fox Network. And during his time at CBS in those years as with his fellow broadcasters, it says, we partied hard off the field. He said, we raised Cain. I was the first guy at the bar and the last one to leave. Summerall was told that if he kept on drinking, he was going to die. After checking into the Betty Ford Clinic, his counselor urged him, would you please seek a life through faith? He said, you need faith. You need to believe in something. And it says, at age 66, Pat Summerall was baptized in water. In the USA Today, he told a reporter that when the minister leaned me back into the water, I never felt so helpless. I knew I had just become a Christian, but I can't tell you how great life has been since then. I can't tell you how great life has been since then. I'll tell you something. That's the amazing thing is when you do go back, you feel helpless. You kind of feel like I'm trusting these other people. And you know, when you go through those waters and the enemy's chasing you, you're just going, I'm just trusting Jesus. I hope this turns out well. But I'm telling you, you can trust him. You can believe him. And when you go through these waters today, I mean, these people are going to be totally delivered, totally set free. They're going to come out. We're going to speak words of affirmation, powerful destiny words over them. They're going to receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and they're going to walk in incredible power and authority. And the enemy, his legal authority to have any grip on them whatsoever is totally broken because they have been baptized in water and identified with Jesus. And they are now released powerfully to move into their destiny. All right. I have to stop there just because time is gone. But let me tell you this right now. Let me just bow your heads right now. Bow your heads right now. You know, maybe you're here today and you say, I got baptized. I've been baptized. Or maybe you sit here today and you say, you know what? That's all pretty. That's just straight up stuff. You just, all you did was share some Bible verses with us, and it's really, really there. But you know what? I really, the level of revelation I had about baptism was that I was doing a outward sign of an inward work. And I just thought, you know, I'd been saved, so I'm showing people now that I'm saved. I didn't realize that there is a dynamic in baptism that's much more than just showing people publicly that I accepted Jesus. I didn't know that, but I did get wet. Well, you know what? With the faith you had, with the revelation you had, you were obedient to go through the waters of baptism. So right now, just all eyes closed, everything. Maybe you're here today and you say, it's not that I need to rededicate my life to Jesus, but I want to rededicate myself to the fact that I'm a baptized believer. And you just want the freshness of that dynamic to be brought into your experience. You want the reality of that revelation to sink deep in your heart. And you want the power of water baptism to be refreshed in your life. I'm not saying you got to come get wet again. Although I've preached this before and I've had dozens line up and say, I want to get baptized again. I've preached this before and I had a guy literally fully clothed run out of the congregation and jump in the tank. And I was so excited about it, I jumped in with him. Suit and all, new shoes, it was crazy. But it was powerful. I mean, I almost got electrocuted in there. The power of God was so powerful. Great times. But you don't have to get wet again. You just need to say, I want the revelation. I want the power of baptism. I want the reality of what I did when I followed Jesus in that tank. I want the reality of it to be alive, and I want it to be an everyday dynamic in my experience. You know, if that's you, nobody's looking. You can just say, yeah, I just want to refresh that revelation in my heart and my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Say, yeah, I do. Good, good.